reading this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect.
Good morning. Hope you have your Bibles this morning. And I encourage you to mark two passages. First one being that one that we just read, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3, 15. And then mark Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. As I've said, we'll be looking at a lot of scriptures, but those two are probably the most important. So please mark those in your Bible. As Bill said, I'm going to be talking about hope. Is there hope for America? And is there hope for the world? You know, we live in desperate times. Crime is at an all-time high. And that shooting that occurred on Thursday, that was the 18th time that it's happened in a school this year. And CBS News said it was the 366th time of a mass shooting this year. A mass shooting being four people injured or killed in a shooting. And terror is not being wiped out, only control. Our economy is stagnant. I read where there are more homeless today than there's ever been in America. So yes, we live in desperate times. And for many, it appears we live in a world without hope. And for us Christians, well, as it was said a couple weeks ago by Bill, we're not immune to adversity. We can face difficult circumstances. And our safety is at risk. And we face illnesses. We can be injured. And we can be in a natural disaster, as some were last spring by the tornadoes and the floods. But how we face adversity says a lot about our faith. Do others see hope in us? Well, if we are Christian, they should see it in us. Let's start by defining hope. You know, for many, hope is something you wish for. Maybe as a child, you wished for a pony on Christmas Day. I remember on my 14th birthday, I wished for a motorcycle. I wished for one of those Honda 90s like some of my friends had, knowing full well that was not going to happen. But instead, my father got me a new bike. Not at all what I wanted. But it turned out to be the much wiser choice. But I remember that bike, and I remember how some of my friends made fun of it. Until I got it and rode it and saw how easy it was to do a wheelie with it. And it wasn't so funny after that. But for many, that's the way hope is. Something you wish, but it's not attainable. It's out of your reach. But that's not the hope of the Bible. That's not the hope that's found in the Bible. The definition that you'll find in the dictionary tells us that it is a desire accompanied by expectation. Let me say that again. A desire accompanied by expectation. And the biblical definition is found in the definition of faith. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not seen. So if you know what faith is, then you know what hope is. For Christian, hope is an expectation, and it's based on what we know about God's goodness and God's faithfulness. We know that He can be counted upon. We know He makes good on His promises. And therefore we have hope. We have real hope. And this is the hope that Paul speaks of in Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That beautiful prayer tells us two things about hope. First, it's in God. It's in our belief in God. It doesn't rest in us. It's not something that we have to build up in us. It comes because we have belief in God. And secondly, it tells us that we are to abound in hope. We are to abound in hope. We are to be overflowing with hope. Hope should be a vital characteristic of a Christian. Genuine hope should distinguish us from those who have no hope. Writing to the Christians in Ephesus, Paul pointed out that once they had no hope, he wrote to them, "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Last part of that is crucial. They had no hope because they were without God in the world. But once they became Christian, once they accepted Christ, they became possessors of hope. It's the same for you and I. If we're a Christian, we are possessors of hope. And how we live this life, and how we live as if we know we have that hope, is crucial. We must live in awareness of the fact that we have hope. It's important that we realize that hope is not just something that we do, it's something that we have. And our challenge is to live that way. Our hope is to be readily seen by others. Because it confidently rests in the promises and the goodness, faithfulness of God. We know He makes good on His promises. And we fully trust in Him. Okay, let's talk about what real hope looks like. How is it seen in a Christian? Well, Paul tells us that it's seen as courage. Having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech. 2 Corinthians 3:12. He also said that it's patient or steadfast. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of favor, your work of faith and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. Hope is also expectant. We are looking for the blessed hope and appearing in the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 13. And the writer of Hebrews viewed it as a source of stability. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hebrews 6:19. So hope is seen in all these ways. It should be shown as courage, steadfastness, stability of the soul. And when we trust in God, it is seen in those ways. So how do we build such a hope? What's the source of our hope? Where does it come from? Well, the psalmist recognized that God is the source of hope. He declared, "And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." Psalms 39:7. First Peter, it tells us that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has born us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll have more to say about the resurrection of Jesus Christ later and the hope that it brings. But first I want us to look at another source of hope. And here's one of those passages that I told you to mark where we'll be looking at it. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verses 3 through 5. You may want to mark this passage. You'll want to refer to it from time to time. Paul says, "And not only this, but we also glory in tribulations, because tribulations produces perseverance. And perseverance produces proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint." And he says a lot there, but if you follow it, you can see what he's talking about. When we face tribulations or trials or adversity, we face those and we persevere through them. What does it do to us? Well, it builds our character. As it builds our character, we develop more hope. Strengthen our character and we have more hope. That's what he means by that scripture. Through perseverance, it leads to hope. So that serves us going through adversity, going through struggles. We learn that God will always be with us. And serves us much better than if we lived a life of complete ease and comfort. We are strengthened for perseverance. And through perseverance, we can learn about God's grace. It teaches us of God's grace. And look at the scripture that was read this morning. It was talked about in Jack's class. 2 Corinthians 12:9. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." To which Paul responded, "Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." When we endure, when we persevere, And we learn that God's grace is sufficient. I've seen this in a friend of mine a number of years ago. I know that many of you know him. His name is Sidney Ellis. And I first met him when he was a preacher at Sepulpa. But what I'm talking about was many years later, when he was the teacher at the Owosso Biblical School. And it was after that he had been in a car accident. And his leg was broken in several places in that car accident. As a result, he walked with a limp. And you could tell it was a struggle for him to limp. A struggle for him to walk. But he continued on. And he continued to teach. Continued to serve the Lord. No doubt he wished that his thorn in the flesh would be removed. He prayed that it would, but he continued on. And he learned that God's grace was sufficient. And I've seen that in a number of you as well. As you've endured sickness, as if you have endured various trials, various struggles, you continue to come and serve and worship the Lord. So yes, we learn about God's grace through perseverance. We also learn about God's protection. Psalms 59:16 says, "But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my stronghold and your refuge in the day of my distress." Psalms 59:16. You know, we live in fearful time. And our faith is, well, we know it's not going to stop bullets. But yet we don't have to live a life of fear. We don't have to live a life of dread. We know that whatever happens, God will be by our side. If something happens to us, He will see it through us until we recover. Or if we pass from this world, we know that a home in heaven awaits us. So no, we don't have to live a life of fear. God will protect us. We can also see through perseverance of God's providence. According to the writer of Hebrews, we are encouraged to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. God will provide all that is needed. I'm mindful of the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to paraphrase part of it, but God told us not to worry about our life, not to worry about what we will eat, what we will drink, or what we will wear. It just says He provides for the birds of the air, provides for the lilies of the field, He will provide all that we need. He provides all that is required in our lives. Yes, the Lord will provide. And so we persevere and we learn to carry on because we know that God is with us. And God is the God of hope. And we are people with real, genuine hope. Okay, now let's talk about hope for a world in desperation. But now, hopefully, you've realized that a key characteristic in every Christian must be hope. We must have hope. We must be people with genuine hope. And people must see that in us. We know that they need the forgiveness of Christ. We know they need it. But that might not be what they're looking for. We know that what we offer is not just another religion, not just another philosophy, and that we do worship a God of hope. And that's just as important that we share that as we share the message of forgiveness found in Christ. Our mission is to share the message of hope as well as to share the message of forgiveness. And Peter is actually pointing this out in this passage. Look at it again. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Now, maybe you've been taught that verse before, and you've seen it before. I have many times. And you've been taught that it says that we need to be ready to share the word with whoever. But there is also something else in that verse. And that is that there's a trigger. Or there's a mechanism that leads to that opportunity to share the message. And so the process is that we are to live as people with hope. Hope is to mark our lives as distinctive from others. People living with hope will see that hope in us. They'll want to know the source of that hope. And then we share the gospel with them. So they must see the hope in us. We must live our life with it, showing that we truly trust in God and that we have confidence in that hope that God provides. It's provided by Christ dying on the cross. People will see it, and they'll want it too. And they'll ask for that source of hope. They'll ask where it comes from. So let me repeat that once more. We must be people with genuine, confident hope. Otherwise, people may never know what they're missing. And they may never ask, where does our confidence come from? Remember that our trust, remember that our hope is in trust in God and in His promises and in the resurrection of Christ. Let's finish by once again looking at the foundation of our hope. Foundational. Maybe there's someone in our audience this morning who doesn't have hope. Our hope is real. And our hope is confident. Because it rests on the risen Savior. I'll read that scripture once again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy. Has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Just as surely as Christ arose from the dead, we will rise from the dead. We count on that. And if you believe in that, and you confess your belief in that before me, and you are baptized for the forgiveness of sins, you can have that living hope. Maybe you're here out in the audience this morning and you want to respond to that message. You want to accept the living hope. We encourage you to come. Or if you have some burden that's been troubling you and you'd like for us to pray with you, we encourage you to come as well. You have that opportunity now as we stand and sing.